It's time now for Minds Over Matter, the Bay Area's favorite quiz show. Today, moderator Dana Rodriguez is joined by two panelists, technical editor Kira Pace and educator Lori Fisher. And now, here's your host, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you. Thank you, Joanne, and welcome, everybody. We hope you're having a lovely morning, and we do hope you can join us over the course of the hour for our show, Minds Over Matter, which is, after all, an audience participation quiz program. So what we are looking for is your participation. Please feel free to give us a call. We have two different numbers here. Area code 415-841-4134. Our toll-free, 866-798-8255. Again, that is 415-841-4134. Or toll-free, 866-798-8255. We'll be giving you questions on many, many, many subjects. I used to break it down, but there's no point to it. So feel free to prepare a question of your own. We would love to hear what you have in mind. You can also email us. That email address is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. So that is mindsovermatter1. That's the numeral one, mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. We prefer you call because it's nice to talk to you, but if you want to email, that's fine too. You can listen to us in live stream on kalw.org. And, of course, the podcast should be up in a reasonable amount of time after our show today. Also at kalw.org and many, many other places. But start with KALW. I'm sure that would be appreciated. Let's see. Oh, yes. I want to remind you. We will not have a live show next week. We're all going to be out of town at the same time. So, not at the same convention, no, not at the Shriners convention. We will all be out of town. A couple of us will be chasing the eclipse. I will not be that person. I'm going to London. So we will all be back the following week, but we will have one of our great, of course, classic shows from the past that we will put up for next week. So I'm sure you will enjoy that. We just want to remind you not to call, though. But, of course, the show will be totally worth listening to yet again. Feel free to listen to that. I'm sure the station would appreciate it, and I would too. And you can send in any comments, but we will not be answering any calls. So remember, next week will not be a new show, but we will have a new show the following week. Okay, but today is a new show. So we're going to start with the round of introductions and then a round of questions. And here's the first. Kira Pace thinks that the contemporaneous conspiracy theories surrounding the total solar eclipse of August 1133 were better thought out than the ones surrounding the eclipse coming next week.
Ooh. Hmm. What's the biggest theory?
I think, let's see, earthquakes are predicted. The military is going to, martial law.
All right.
Some biblical stuff, of course.
Some
bad stuff happening during this coming up solar eclipse. If you listen to Alex Jones, which
is Taylor Swift behind all this?
I have not read it, but that does not mean that someone has not written it.
Yeah, all right. they will now.
Yeah. Right. Lori Fisher knows it must be spring because he heard his two favorite words this week: opening day.
I did. My favorite day. And our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, will be traveling to London this week because he's afraid of what might happen when the angry gods swallow the sun. Very nice.
That's right. I have a more old school view of these things. So we will begin the questioning with Kira Pace.
All right. First of all, shout out to Abby and Steve who sent a postcard about a Judy Holliday song that fits the phone number question I asked a couple weeks ago. So they pointed out that Judy Holliday song Plaza 04433 was yet another instance of phone numbers in pop culture. Anyway, with the words as the exchanges.
Good customer relations, by the way. Okay.
Yeah. Thanks. Right. Anyway, do you want to throw that out there?
And they sent a postcard. How cool was that?
I know. Yes. Yeah. I'm very excited to see it. Okay. So this week, I have 10 songs that won their writers both an Oscar for Best Original Song and a Grammy for Song of the Year. This is a movie question, not a song question, because it involves Oscars, so Dana can't be mad at me. What were the songs and what were the movies for which they were written?
10 of them.
10 of them. 10, right. 10 songs for movies that won Oscar for Best Song and Grammy for Song of the Year.
I guess the first thing we should do is break it down in what year the Grammy started. Right. So we don't go back too far. Do we have that?
Yes. 59, I believe, was the first year for songs from 58. I think that's right. Right. So I will just tell you three from the 60s, three from the 70s, three from the 90s, and one from the 21st century.
Ooh. So you—that's all you're giving us. Huh? We had no little hints here, right?
So in the Grammy, they won the Song of the Year. They were not on, for instance, the Album of the Year or anything like that.
That is largely correct. Yes.
All right. Okay. All right.
Perhaps entirely correct, but certainly largely correct.
So, say all right. Three from the 60s, three from the 70s. Where were the other four?
Three from the 90s and one from the 21st century.
Ooh. Well, let me ask a general question, then Dana can fill it in. Is one from Saturday Night Fever?
No.
Ooh.
See, I couldn't fill that in.
Yeah. Don't need to. It was wrong. Okay. All right. How about Everybody's Talking at Me from Midnight Cowboy by Harry Nilsson?
That's a good guess. It is incorrect, but that is a good guess. I will tell you, you know what else isn't? Mrs. Robinson. Mrs. Robinson, also not correct, throw that out there early.
Mrs. Robinson wouldn't be because it wasn't written for the movie, and I believe all of these had to be written for the movie. Isn't that the
right? I didn't actually realize it wasn't. Okay.
Yeah, that's why when they make a musical, they write a new song.
Yeah.
You can't have the music. Okay. Oh.
No, I knew that. I just didn't realize that Mrs. Robinson was not written for The Graduate.
Yeah, it probably didn't win the Grammy. Okay. Ooh. All right.
So I have a question for you. So I know this may not be on your list because it's not really a song, but it was the theme from Exodus that I know won the Grammy. Though I'm not sure it was for an album or a song. So does that qualify in any way?
It's not an answer on this list.
Okay. The other one is I think was the next year or maybe 2 years after that. I'm not sure. Was Moon River from Breakfast at Tiffany's. So would that count?
Moon River is the first one on the list from the 1961 movie Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Oh, very good.
Won Oscars for and Grammys for Mancini and Mercer. And as a clue, it was not the only time that a song won an Oscar and a Grammy for Mancini and Mercer.
It's the next year, maybe the year after, for Days of Wine and Roses.
Yes. Next year at the Oscars, 2 years later at the Grammys, Days of Wine and Roses. So that is two. You got your first two.
Joanne is guessing the moon in New York City.
Also an excellent guess, but not correct.
Ah.
Yeah, it's. I know. I'm pretty sure it won the Grammy, but evidently did not win the Oscar.
I forget the movie.
Because of Samuels.
All right.
Arthur.
Arthur, right. Whew. All right. This is good.
All right. Things start to get a little hazy after the early 60s. All right. Well, why don't you go over the question once more, if you would, please?
Sure. 10 songs have won their writers both an Oscar for the Best Original Song and a Grammy for Song of the Year. What were the songs and for what movies were they written? And so far, Dana got the first two, which are Moon River and Days of Wine and Roses, both of which won Mancini and Mercer some awards. Looking for the next eight.
All right, before we move on, I have a question for you. So, are the Beatles on that list anywhere?
Nope.
Okay.
And Lori, you had a guess?
Well, I had two questions. One, are any themes from a Bond movie on the list?
No.
Okay.
Hold on, let me just double check this. No.
Billie Eilish won I think Song of the Year.
See, if only you had just said Billie Eilish. You wanna walk that back?
It's just now. It is for the song from Barbie, right?
Yes. Yeah. What was I made for? Billie Eilish and Phineas O'Connell.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, very nice. And do all the song? Are any of the songs instrumental?
Just
instruments.
Right. I don't think so. The only one I'm actually not sure about is the Henry Mancini version of Moon River, if he did vocals for that or if it was just instrumental. The rest of them, definitely, there are lyrics.
Yeah, there's lyrics for that.
So one other question. Is Tony Bennett on there anywhere?
Could be. You have some ideas?
Well, there was a song come from a movie called The Sandpiper. I think it was, what was that called? The Shadow of Your Smile. Is that on there?
The third song on the list, Shadow of Your Smile, from The Sandpiper, as sung by Tony Bennett.
And who wrote it?
Webster and Mandel.
Johnny Mandel. All right.
And then one more guess from Joanne, which was Stephen Bishop, All of My Life. I don't know that one.
Oh, I know that song. No. What was movie was that? Was that also an Arthur movie?
Don't know. So we're done with the 60s and we're done with the 21st century, right? We only have the
That's correct. Back. Three from the 70s, three from the 90s. Oh, Tootsie. Yes, of course. Anyway, also a good guess, but nothing from the 80s.
Nothing from the 80s. Okay.
No music in the 80s.
All right.
Well, music that fits this particular description.
And last hint, were any of them disco songs in the 70s?
No.
Okay. All right.
So if you would like to weigh in on this or if you have a question of your own, those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Laura, you go ahead, please.
All right. Well, in the aftermath of the tragedy in the Francis Scott Key Bridge being knocked down, they said a number of times that 30,000, it was a hugely traveled bridge and 30,000 cars traveled it a day. So I wondered about the five local bridges in the Bay Area. And by that, I mean Richmond, San Rafael, Dumbarton, San Mateo, Golden Gate, and Bay Bridge. I'd like you to guess on each one of what is the daily traffic vehicle crossings on those bridges within 10% each. So you can take a couple guesses each to see if we can.
How are you breaking this down? In other words, how do you want it?
I want you to say the Bay Bridge has X amount of vehicles travel it a day. You know, that's what I was going to have you rank them, but that gets too complicated.
On an average, you mean?
Yeah, and it was a weekday traffic too. So that's, you know, the transportation site have it. So on a normal weekday now, post-pandemic.
I will randomly guess. This is the randomest of guesses. 50,000 for the Bay Bridge. I don't even know if that's high or low. It's not right. I don't know if it's...
It's not right, no. and it's low.
It's low. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Then I'll say, there are 6, 7, 8 million people in the Greater Bay Area. So I will say 150,000.
For the Bay Bridge?
Yeah.
And I will say that's also incorrect and too low, and we'll have the 10% rule as we get closer there. And I will say the Bay Bridge is the most traveled bridge in the Bay Area, kind of by far. So we've had 50,000 and what'd you say, Dana, 150?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay. We're low on those. Take one more guess each and then we'll put it out to the audience.
250,000 for the Bay Bridge.
That is close enough. 260,000 approximately per day. Ring it up. All right.
All right, audience. All your answers will be lower than 260,000.
That's correct. Dana, you get one more guess for either the Richmond, Dumbarton, San Mateo or Golden Gate. And it's all less than 260,000.
Oh, gosh. The Golden Gate, I suspect the Golden Gate actually has one of the fewer cars going across it because of, you know, the Marin's not the most crowded part of the Bay Area. But I think maybe the Richmond San Rafael, that's always a mess. I'll say around 100,000 for Richmond San Rafael.
I'm going to extend the grace period. It's 80,000, but I don't want to, because that's 20% away, but I'm going to give you that one. Richmond Sandoval is 80,000, and that's at the lower end. So we're looking for three more bridges, and we'll leave it out there. The Golden Gate, San Mateo, and Dumbarton Bridge fit in between 250 and 80,000. And we'll let our audience weigh in on that as they call in on the musical.
All right.
Clues as
okay.
Well.
Great. Just to remind you, the numbers to join us with a question of your own or to answer one of ours. Area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Hello? No? All right. Try again. Hello, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Go ahead, please.
Oh, my gosh. This is John Hughes.
Hi, John.
So my question is about Mr. T.
All right.
And so Mr. T, what was his prior occupation before being an opera?
Mr. T?
Actor. Mr. T.
Wasn't he
so
either
the
a...
The second question is, who does Mr. T pity? And the third question is, what is Mr. T's true name?
Oh, gosh. His name is, is it Terrence something?
God dang. Who does he pity?
He pities the fool. No, just the fool. He pities the fool.
Not the poor fool. Huh?
And I don't know what he
did. Mr. T... What does Mr. T say to Vladimir Putin?
Uh-oh, a pun is coming.
Oh, no.
Putin.
Yeah. Who does he pity?
No, we don't
know. You better tell us, I think.
What was his haircut?
He had a mohawk.
What Iroquois nation that was so fierce?
Don't know.
Right.
What was his haircut?
Well, he had a mohawk. Yes.
Mohawk. What do you call a wrestler who's the good guy?
He's a face. The good guy is the face.
The third row.
Yeah. The good guy's the face and the bad guy's the heel.
Who has the best scowl?
That's a matter of opinion. So
I know. Who has a great scowl? How's that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, John Hughes.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Feel free to give us a call. We have some room on the lines, I think. Area code 415-841-4134. Or toll-free, 866-798-8255. All right, I'll give you a couple questions here. Well, you know, Easter, which I hadn't even mentioned yet, is tomorrow. So happy Easter, everybody. And we just had Good Friday yesterday. So what I'd like to know is in what major European country, is it still illegal to dance on Good Friday?
No. Vatican City.
No, I think you can do St. Vitus dance there every day.
Okay, Matt.
But
I thought I had that. Yeah.
So in what major Western European country is it still illegal to dance on Good Friday?
Not Poland.
Not Poland. Not Poland.
It'd have to be smaller. How about San Marino?
Not San Marino.
Not major enough?
Right. No. Mm-mm.
Is it a predominantly Catholic country?
It's a mix. It's a mix.
All right.
Okay. Let's see. What I would also like to know is I saw a breakdown of the best-selling Easter candy by state. Because people actually spend time doing that. And so what I'd like to know are the three best-selling Easter candies in the United States. In other words, one of them is the favorite in 33 states, one in 14, and one in one. So again, what are the three best-selling Easter candies in the United States as of 2024?
Well, doesn't Peeps?
And no, I need a brand name. You can't just be. You can't just say Jelly Beans, for instance.
Okay, how about Peeps? That's a brand name, right?
No, Peeps is nowhere on there.
No kidding.
What about the Hershey eggs, like the kisses that are shaped like eggs?
Those are not on there either. Hmm.
And Joanne's going with Jelly Bellies.
Not those either.
Yeah, well, then Cadbury Cream Egg, which should be on your list, even though it probably isn't.
Cadbury Cream Eggs is the favorite Easter candy in 14 states.
Oh.
California is one of them.
Okay, California is correct.
Good.
So something more than double the Cadbury dominance of the market.
Yes.
Okay.
So again, what are the three best-selling Easter candies in the United States as of 2024? Kira got the Cadbury Cream Eggs, which is the favorite in 14 states. What are the other two on that list? And if you don't mind, I'll ask you one more candy question here. Peeps, the aforementioned, has combined for new flavors with seven existing product brand names. Okay, in other words, they're Peeps with blah blah flavor or Peeps and blah blah. So I would like to know those seven brand name foods that Peeps has combined with in their packaging for specific flavors.
So if I said peanut butter, would I need to have a specific peanut butter?
Looking for a brand name. So in other words, like if I said, Peeps
Skippy
Coca-Cola flavored,
okay,
then that would sort of be the general idea.
What about Oreo Peeps?
Well, that's not a bad idea, but no, not Oreo Peeps.
Okay. I feel like I've actually heard an alcoholic Peeps.
None of them are alcoholic that I've seen.
Okay.
No. Okay, so I'm going to go with Skippy Peanut Butter Peeps as my first guess.
No.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and I'd go with Hershey Chocolate Kiss Peeps.
Well, you're obviously on the right track with candy or something to drink.
Ooh.
So just to go over the question again, Peeps that has combined for seven new flavors or relatively new flavors with existing brand name food products. So it could be a drink, or it could be a candy, or it could be a food, or another kind of food. So what are those?
Well, you already said Coca-Cola, so it can't be right. So I'm going to go with Red Bull Peeps.
No, this is sort of more children-related, so I don't think they want to give children Red Bull-infused candy.
That'd be great.
I
was going to go with Mountain Dew Peeps, but that might be too radical as well.
Well, you're closer.
All right. So
that's closer.
7-Up Peeps.
Sprite Peeps.
Yeah. Here's the thing. For instance, Coca-Cola is way too big. They don't need Peeps. That's the last thing they need is Peeps help in anything. Probably not 7-Up either. So, go a little bit further down the
RC Cola.
Yeah,
RC Cola.
You're closing in on the right level here now.
Dr. Pepper Peeps.
Dr. Pepper. That's
nice.
Yes.
And it's a alliterative. The Pepper Peeps. All right.
Yeah.
Ooh,
Sam
that's a lot
Select.
Of work.
That's one.
Peeps.
All right.
And Kira, I have a guess on the song. Is the song What a Feeling from Flashdance?
No, none. Yeah, and
none from
Maniac,
Flashdance?
Same. No.
And how about from Fame?
No, because again, we none of the 80s songs.
Oh, those are 80s. You're right. Yeah. Never mind. Okay.
All right. And we have emails from two different people here. One from Julianne and one from Carol, who are both suggesting, it sounds like a good suggestion, The Way We Were for one of the songs.
Number nice. Four, The Way Very We Were. Fun. Nice job.
All right.
Marvin Hamlish, I believe.
Yeah.
Hamlish and Bergman.
Yeah,
lyrics.
Marilyn Bergman. Good.
And yep. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on. Go ahead, please.
Excellent. So for movies, I wanted to say Whitney Houston from My Bodyguard, I Will Always Love You.
That was a Dolly Parton song before Whitney Houston sang it, so it was not eligible to be an Oscar-winning song, at least not for The Bodyguard.
Right.
And what about the original, the second A Star Is Born with Barbra Streisand?
Do you happen to know the name of that song?
Shoot. No idea.
Evergreen.
Okay.
It was Evergreen.
Nice. Yes, so that is a nice tag team effort. That is the fifth song.
Thank you, Paul.
Won awards for Barbra Streisand and Paul Williams. So nice job.
Excellent. And then Easter, I would say, well, not the Hershey's Eggs. What about just Hershey's Kisses?
No. Actually, no.
Well, okay. Well, have a great day.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to give us a call with a question or answer, it could be your question or it could be one of ours. The number is 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. At this point, I should say that our panel, that would be Kira Pace, technical editor, Lori Fisher, teacher at Diablo Valley College. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. And Kira, I think it's your turn.
All right. Police Lieutenant George LaBrash sued the San Francisco Employees Retirement Board over a stroke that he had suffered in September 1979 while guarding an artifact that was part of an immensely popular touring exhibition. To what person did these artifacts belong?
Oh, I thought there was going to be some sort of King Tut tie-in. Is a curse involved or something like that?
Yeah, that is the answer. They belong to King Tut. He sued, saying that his stroke was the result of the curse of the pharaohs. He did not win his suit.
So. What a surprise.
Yeah, really.
Okay. All right, there's something else here.
All right. Typically, the word turnip refers to the white turnip, the binomial name of which is Brassica rapa. What are the more common North American English names for the following vegetables? The Swedish turnip, the Mexican turnip, and the German turnip. So three different things called turnip. They have more common North American English names. What are they?
Would you say these are fairly common? In other words, you would find them in the local grocery store sort of thing?
Yes. I know at least two of these are in my local grocery store right now.
Well, that's specific. Okay, that's different.
Have a special produce section.
Yeah,
Swedish turnips.
Let's see. Swedish turnip.
I'm assuming they're all produce, so it's not like a Swedish turnip is a certain...
That is correct. These are all legitimate pieces of produce. One is known as the Swedish turnip, one is known as the Mexican turnip, and one is known as the German turnip.
Are
they all in the same family or sort of vegetable?
No, two of them are brassica, one of them is a legume.
Ooh.
Oh,
that doesn't help me.
No, not much.
But it sounds good.
Well, all right.
And they're all root vegetables, yes? Close enough. Okay.
Close enough.
So a root vegetable.
I'm going to go. I'll start the bidding. The German turnip is a potato.
It is not.
Potato.
No.
Okay. No. But I go easy there.
How about a rutabaga then?
Ooh. For what?
Oh my God.
Come on.
Yeah. All right. Swedish.
The Swedish turnip is the rutabaga, Brassica napis.
Nice. I knew it wasn't going to be the Mexican one, but okay, good.
Very nice.
Yeah, rutabaga. All right, and okay, just give that question once more, if you would, please.
Sure. Typically, the word turnip refers to the white turnip, whose binomial name is Brassica rapa. What are the more common North American English names for the following vegetables? So we already have that Swedish turnip is a rutabaga, looking for the Mexican turnip and the German turnip.
So in your local grocery store, do they have it listed as rutabaga or Swedish turnip?
Rutabaga, because we're in North America. So these are more common North American English names.
Okay. All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, happy Easter. That will be my first question. What is the origin of the word Easter? I know the Christian holiday, of course, the resurrection of Jesus, and that is great, great to celebrate. But where did the word Easter come from originally?
Is it Ishtar?
Very good. You know. All right. Yes, it's from Babylonian queen Ishtar. She was the queen of love, fertility, and motherhood. So that is really. But of course, okay. Why do we color Easter eggs? This is more Christian story, actually. It has Christian origin.
Why?
Say it again.
I think it comes from Ukraine, actually, but I think I read something about that. But yeah. Why do they cover it?
Makes it easier to find on the White House lawn.
Yeah, right.
Well, it has some. It has something to do with Mary Magdalene.
Ooh.
Yep. Who is she? Who is Mary Magdalene?
A very good friend of Jesus's.
Yes.
Very, really. She was the first woman, was the first person to see him after his resurrection. And, okay, so why she has something to do with the coloring of eggs. What do you think? Can you take a guess?
No, I don't know.
Nope.
Okay, I'll tell you the story. And by the way, Easter goes away to ancient Egypt. It's celebrated then as the spring equinox. And until today, every family in Egypt go to picnic on that day, as well as Christian, Egyptian as well, celebrated for the resurrection of Jesus. Okay, the story goes that Mary Magdalene, in the presence of the Roman emperor, she was arguing with the emperor that Jesus was resurrected. He laughed. He said, Jesus resurrected is as likely as this egg in your hand turned color. And sure enough, the egg in her hand turned red. Can you get the story? Okay, it is beautiful. All right, one question for your audience. What, astrophysics, what is the increment WIMPs and MASHes referred to? And that's for your audience. Have them answer it. And the last question, who is Carol Doda?
Who is Carol Doda?
She's an icon of San Francisco, and she brought a lot of fun to a lot of people.
Is she involved in the weights and measures question? I don't understand.
In a sense. Who is she?
Yeah, well,
she's alive.
A stone dancer at Columbus and Broadway at the El Condor.
Yeah.
There's a new documentary about her.
I called that between the Fairmont and the Condor and others. That was really the golden days, the golden years of San Francisco. Thank you all for the great show, and happy Easter again. Take care. Thank you.
Yes. She had a vague relationship to the greatest headline of all time, which is the, I think it was the El Condor. They had a piano that they could lift up.
They did.
And the piano fell and decapitated somebody
I think so.
In an accident. And the headline was Headless Body and Topless Bar. So, yes.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's great.
Anyway, so let's see. Lori, I believe it's your turn.
Okay. So I was surprised if my research is right and Trump runs against Biden, which it looks like it's happening.
You've been doing research on whether that's going to happen? Yeah.
No, I've been doing research on this. As far as I can tell, there's only four times where in two elections in a row, the same presidential candidates faced each other. And I want to know those four times. And since there's only four of them, I'll give you one each.
I cede my guess to Dana.
So, just a clarification point. Yeah. So, the not a former president running against a current president. You're not asking about that, or are you asking about that?
Well, that could be one of them, but it's not necessarily one of them. In other words,
you just mean it's the same race 2 years or two presidential election years in a row.
Correct.
It's X versus Y, where X and Y are the same two people.
Beautifully said.
Well,
algebraically said.
Yeah.
You got two guessing things.
Math.
Yeah. The first obvious one is Benjamin Harrison and Grover Cleveland, because Cleveland was defeated by Benjamin Harrison in 1888. And then Cleveland defeated Harrison in 1892.
The only thing that is correct, if you tell a ballot, and the only amusing thing is that you said that was the obvious one. I'm not sure it was.
Well,
but very nice. And Kira ceded the second guess to you as well. I bet you know all four, but you only
then the other is William Jennings Bryan and William McKinley.
Nice.
They ran against each other in not only in 1896 but in 1900.
Beautiful.
So, all right.
So there's two more to go, and as a hint, one is after all those, and one is before. And Dana, you're recused from any more guesses until the end of the show.
All right. Okay.
Good. Very good, Dana and Kara. Thanks.
All right. And let's see. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good afternoon or morning, folks. It's Sparky and Maddie in New England.
Hey,
Sparky. Welcome back.
Hi, Maddie. Welcome back.
Hi, thank you. All right. The other presidential you're probably thinking of, Lori, is Eisenhower and Stevenson.
Aye, that is the one during at least some of our lifetimes. What years were those, Sparky?
I would say 52 and 56.
You'd say it correctly. Very good. One more to go with that.
Okay. Kira, another, I believe, won both Grammy and Oscar was the theme from Shaft.
Ooh.
No, it wasn't. I know. It might have been Record of the Year or something, but it did not fit both criteria.
Yeah, that's about right. Okay, I've got a quick question for you. What is in common with the debut albums of these following artists? The Yardbirds, Johnny Rivers, Arlo Guthrie, and Trini Lopez.
They have something in common, right?
Yeah.
Huh. Want to give us any hint that is it an award or a song on the album or who produced them or played on them? Give us some general area.
I would probably say it has something to do with more of the atmosphere of all of the albums.
Ooh. The atmosphere of a Trini Lopez album.
Does it have to do with the album covers by any chance?
No, it isn't.
Okay.
The atmosphere.
Hmm. Although
are they all live?
They are all live albums.
Oh, that's interesting.
Although I have to give half for Arlo Guthrie, because only side one of his debut album is live. It's Alice's Restaurant.
That's right. Oh, very good. And then the other side is recorded, right?
But they were all the other albums were, and I was really amazed to find that the Yardbirds album was indeed a live album, and I think it's practically the only one with Eric Clapton in the lead guitar department.
Because
he'd be gone by a year.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's good. Well, we should all look him up.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
All right, thank you. We're done. Have fun.
All right, bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Feel free to give us a call. We would love to hear from you with a question or answer. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Or toll-free, 866-798-8255. I should say that we have some emails here. Tom did also get Eisenhower versus Stevenson, so very good. Thank you, Tom. Di was wondering if the song Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head is that.
That one shocked me that it is not. It was not.
Okay.
So there was it was a really good year for songs. And then the song that won Song of the Year was one I have never heard of. It was like four that didn't win and they're all still huge. And then one that did win, I've never heard it. I think that was year.
Michael is wondering if the Mexican turnip is a jacam. Wait a minute, I'm mispronouncing it.
It's jicama. And yes.
Jicama.
Yes.
All Jicama.
Yes, it is the jicama, which is that was the legume on the list. It's part of pea family.
And delicious.
Sorry, Michael, I didn't mean
that. Oh, it's so good. Yes.
Yeah, it is.
And Tom is also wondering, or different. That was Michael. Michael got Mexican. I'm sorry, Mexican term. Okay, Michael got that. Thomas is wondering if the German is the kohlrabi.
Yes, Thomas is also correct. So nice job, Michael and Thomas. German turnip is indeed the kohlrabi, also known as the cabbage turnip.
All right. Okay, good. Okay. All right, I'm going to give you a quick question here. What is the first 19th century novel to have an eclipse as a pivotal part of the plot?
Is that the Connecticut Yankee in Confederate Court? Yeah, I'm sorry. I poached it. Yeah.
All right. No, that's great. Yeah.
Okay, another eclipse question. since you've obviously been doing research on the eclipse. The eclipse of May 29th, 1919 was used to prove, Kira knows this already, used to prove what scientific theory?
The general theory of relativity, Einstein's theory, and specifically it's like displacement, light displacement.
Good job.
That's impressive. Good eclipse knowledge.
And there's a plaque about it dedicated to Einstein and Sir Arthur Eddington on the island of Principe, Sao Tome and Principe. So if you ever want to see a tourist attraction dedicated to that, that's where you go.
You've seen it, huh?
I have not.
Okay. All right. Very nice.
One day.
All right. Now here's one you won't get.
Okay.
What is the oldest city in Wisconsin?
What? Racine, Wisconsin.
No.
Eclipse, Wisconsin. There's a theme here, I'm thinking.
No relations.
But it's the first city founded in Wisconsin.
Oh, right? Is it Milwaukee? So I can say Milwaukee, like Alice Cooper? No?
It's not.
Okay.
Is it a well-known city?
There's no way it is.
Is it on Lake Michigan?
Oh, I don't think I'm going to give you the geographic location, but...
Okay.
Well, it gets cold in the winter.
Yeah. It's not going to be one of the major cities, I assume. So I'll try Appleton.
Not Appleton.
Appleton.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, hi. This is Colin from Oakland.
Hi.
So let's see. For the movie songs, how about My Heart Will Go On from Titanic?
Very nice. That was number 9 of 10. Celine Dion's My Heart Will Go On, one for James Horner and someone named Jennings.
Nice one.
All right. For the Easter candy, how about the Reese's peanut butter eggs?
You are absolutely right. That is the number one candy in 33 states. The Reese's peanut butter eggs. Good job.
Dana, but I have another... pop music question here, but maybe this will go
by
quickly and painlessly. Let's see, what do these songs have in common? Buffalo Soldier by Bob Marley, Watching the Wheels by John Lennon, Mo Money, Mo Problems by Notorious B.I.G., Me and Bobby McGee by Janis Joplin, and Sitting on the Dock of the Bay by Otis Redding.
Oh, they were all released after the artists died?
That is correct, yes. They were all posthumous hits, yes. I have a quick presidential question, if that's all right. If I could flip
yes.
There.
Anything's a step up from the last one. So
yeah, just to appease you a bit there, Dana. Let's see. So do you know who the first president was that was born in a hospital?
Jimmy Carter.
That is correct, yeah, very good. Still alive today. Awesome. Well, thanks so much. Love the show.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate the call. Bye-bye.
All right. Take care.
All right.
Real quick, Joanne has a guess for you on Wisconsin. Is it La Crosse?
It is not La Crosse. No.
Okay. That was a good guess.
Okay. Yeah, that is. Yeah.
Well, I think every city is about an equal guess when you think what the oldest city is in Wisconsin.
Yeah. How about Whitefish Bay?
No.
Eau Claire.
Yes. No.
Now we're just guessing.
Yeah, you're
it's Oshkosh.
By gosh. All right. Okay, Lori, I'll let you throw in a question here if you want.
All right. Well, short question here. Very baseball and another number question. So now it's the start of the baseball season. I have two numerical questions. One is, if you're a professional baseball player, what is the lowest amount of money your salary can be as dictated by the contract? And what is the average amount that a MLB player makes? So the lowest, this is, I was going to give you all the four sports, but I'm just sticking with baseball here. So what's the minimum salary for a baseball player and what is the average salary these days? Here, start the bidding.
I'll start it with my same number for the Oakland Bridge, whatever, passengers or vehicles, $250,000.
For the minimum.
Minimum.
Correct?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, it's definitely not the max.
That's incorrect. Average.
I know it's less than $1 million.
That is so correct. It's less than $1 million.
It is less than $1 million, but it used to be like 180 to 200,000. It used to be around there, but now it's gone way up. So,
well, the bridge question was right at 80,000. Maybe you go with that again.
Well, that was the Richmond San Rafael Bridge at 80,000.
That would be that's too much of a reach, Garrett. That he's going to design all his questions around the same number.
Yeah, all the answers are 80,000.
I'll say 700,000. I'll just go with that.
That is also incorrect. And we'll just leave it. And then what about, take a guess on the average salary. Obviously more than the minimum. See those hardworking young men out there.
So, all right. Well, yeah. So the average U.S. salary. So that would be over $1 million, I would guess.
It is.
Considerably. So I'll say 1.9 million.
That's incorrect. Karen? Right.
Do I get a high low on this?
That was too low.
Too low. 2.4 million.
Also too low. And we'll leave it out there. They have a good union, both minimum and now average. Yeah. Okay. We'll leave that out there. And I'm also looking for the bridge numbers too, if we get to them.
Okay. Peter is wondering, in honor of National Women's Month, what was the significance of the Philadelphia 11? Does anybody know the significance of the Philadelphia 11? I will leave that out. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Oh, good morning. It's Bill.
Hi, Bill.
Let's see. Lori, on the Golden Gate Bridge, is the average about 100,000 a day?
That's really close. It's 112,000 a day. Let's give Bill a bell. Nice work.
Okay. And for your minimum baseball salary, I'm thinking it's about 560,000.
Oh, it's almost exact. It's $570,000. That's the minimum you make. Good union work there. How about a guess on the average, Bill?
So I've seen that figure and I've forgotten it, but I'm going to think that maybe it's somewhere around 6 million.
No, that's too high. So we'll just leave the rest out there. Good work.
Okay. Yeah. Let's see. Where are we? Oh, Dana, the oldest city in Wisconsin. Did somebody say Green Bay?
No, but you did, and that's correct.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
Green Bay, Wisconsin is the oldest city in Wisconsin. Yes.
Go Packers.
And the European country in which it's illegal to dance on Good Friday. How about Northern Ireland?
No, that's an interesting guess. No, not Northern Ireland. Though I did, I think you're latching on to what I said was a mixed religious country, in other words, more than one major religion. But no, it's not Northern Ireland.
Or how about the Netherlands?
Not the Netherlands.
Okay.
No, they let you dance whenever you want in the Netherlands. Yeah. No.
And after you've imbibed whatever you want.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, here's a question that I didn't get to last week. 1855 Haight Street is the current site of what iconic San Francisco business? And what were its other iterations before it became that?
Ooh.
So
give us a cross street, or that be too...
Is that the Red Vic?
It is not the Red Vic. Okay. It's further west.
Further west? Okay.
1850.
That's not a, so but it's not amoeba.
It is right. Amoeba.
That's amoeba Haight, has 55 as its... All right.
That's Haight-Ashbury. That's right down from Ashbury, I think, isn't it?
Yeah. No, it's Stanyan. If it's amoeba
it's
records.
It's off of Stanyan, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. And good job. So it's been amoeba music since 1996. What was it before that?
Not right at the corner, right?
It used to be a McDonald's at the corner. Now it's going to be housing.
Was it a bowling alley by any chance?
It was. What was the name of it? What was its popular name?
Don't know.
Probably something very pun-like, you know? Yeah.
Well, it's fairly... It was Park Bowl, because it was next to the park.
Hot
and it was known often as Rockin' Bowl, because on, I think, Saturday nights, they played rock music while everybody bowled.
Right.
Okay, nice. Now, what was it before that?
Ooh, it's a big location.
Same location, and I'll tell you it had to do with transportation.
And what year are we talking about was pre Rock and Roll?
From 1950 all the way back to 1915.
Was it buses then?
Was it?
Say that again, Carol.
Say it again. Was it the Muni Center? Of some kind?
You're close. You're on the right track.
But you say track.
The key system line. The key system, something to do with that?
Well, no, not the key system, but what ran on the key system?
It's electrified trolley cars, basically. Yeah.
Okay, so it was the... barn, the storage barn for the United Railroads Haight Street cars. And then before 1915, it was the storage barn for the Market Street Railway's cable cars.
Oh, interesting.
Very nice. Good history.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really fun.
Now it's the Amoeba Records. Cool.
Now it's the Amoeba Records. Yeah.
That's great. That's a great history. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, have a great, beautiful weekend, and thanks for the show.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it. Next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello. Rutabaga cheese. Just to follow up on rutabaga. What is that a reference to? What is rutabaga cheese?
Rutabaga cheese? C-H-E-E-S-E?
Don't know.
Rutabaga cheese.
Nope.
Very rhythmic.
Okay, if you're in a play and you're supposed to stand there while other people are talking, but you're supposed to be in the crowd and talking to someone, and you're told just mumble rutabaga cheese, rutabaga cheese. So it looks like you're talking a conversation, and that's just a theater thing. Just if you're in the background, just say rutabaga cheese. It makes your mouth move in an interesting way, and from the audience will think you're talking about something. Just say rutabaga cheese. It's just like blah, blah. Fair anyway, you never heard that. Okay. Laurie, here's a question for you. I've asked you this, so I know you know the answer. About the butcher's assistant is 5'3" and wears size 13 shoes. What does he weigh?
He weighs meat.
Right. You got that. Now, I had a theory... and I tried it out a few weeks ago on somebody, and I predicted she'd get the answer correct, and she did. She said, he weighs the meat. How did I predict that she would get it right?
A listener of the show? Is that why you predicted?
No, I predicted it because she was talking, and I could tell from her accent. And from her accent, I predicted that she would get this correct.
She's from Chicago.
No.
Or New York. Yeah, that's she's a I'm butcher from. Too, I guess, huh? That's what Joanne thinks.
That's my heritage. No,
do you want to know?
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
She had a French accent, and I know in French, you know, I don't know if you learn French. You know, in French, they say, one of the first sentences you learn is, je m'appelle Pierre. I call myself Peter. Je m'apostrophe appelle. I myself call Peter.
I have a red pencil box, but all right, fine.
Yeah, it's got a reflexive. So I was wondering if she heard that, what does he weigh? And she heard it as, it doesn't sound the same as what is the weight of his body. What does he weigh? Doesn't sound like what's the weight of his body. You know what I mean? Because what does he weigh?
Yes, we know what you mean. We know what you mean.
You get it? All right. And she correctly guessed meat.
Thank you. That was a long journey.
Like me, her uncle was not a butcher.
Right. She said to me. In other words, we don't think of the structure of our language filtering what we're hearing, but it is.
All right.
Isn't that interesting? There's no translation of something. We're always filtering what we're hearing through our experience, through our language, and through our syntax. We're filtering what we're hearing all the time.
Thank you very much, Peter. All right. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, very quickly. There was a very good article in the Berkeley Side yesterday about Cardona and the memory of the two people who were crushed in the elevator at the Condors. Thank you. Always a great show. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Happy Easter again. Happy Easter again.
All right. And next call.
He got in twice.
Yeah, I did. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
This is Kevin.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Good morning, if you please. We need to correct the historic record about the Condor Club.
All right.
A quick Google will yield the true story, which it's very important for your show that we keep our Bay Area lore straight, as it were. So there was a bouncer for the store for the Condor Club, and there was a cocktail waitress, and they were doing what humans do in unlikely places, which is on top of the piano. The piano was on hydraulic system. And again, you can Google this quickly for it to be true. And the hydraulic system had a switch that he unawares tripped. And the piano crushed them against the ceiling of the Condor Club, killing him. And worse, she was stuck there with a corpse until somebody heard her screaming.
Whoa.
So as gruesome deaths go, I'd say that's way up there in the San Francisco Bay Area.
And you're right.
That's a great correction.
Intellectual rigor that this requires to keep the story straight.
Excellent.
Thank you very much. I'm sorry we have to run because we're almost out of time. But thank you. I appreciate your correcting that. All right. Okay, time to clean up here. And Kira, we'll start with you. What do we have?
All right. The last three songs on the list that nobody got that won both an Oscar and a Grammy for their songwriters. You Light Up My Life in 1978 from the movie of the same name. A Whole New World, which won for
Pocahontas.
Aladdin.
Oh, Aladdin, sorry.
Yes, Pocahontas was Colors of the Wind, I think. And Streets of Philadelphia, Bruce Springsteen for Philadelphia.
Okay, good job. All right.
We have the San Mateo Bridge gets 93,000 vehicles a day, and the Dumbarton Bridge gets 80,000. The average salary for an MLB Major League Baseball player is $4 million a year. And the one election we're missing, Andrew Johnson ran against John Quincy Adams in 1828 and in 1824.
Andrew Jackson, if I may.
Andrew Jackson. Yeah, I said Johnson. Jackson. Thank you.
All right. In what Western European country is it still illegal to dance on Good Friday? And that is Germany, of all places. Germany. The three best-selling Easter candies by state, Reese's Peanut Butter Eggs, Cadbury Cream Eggs, and Starburst Jelly Beans. The Peeps combined with other trademark foods to create new flavors, Mike and Ike, Rice Krispie Treats, Fruit Loops, Dr. Pepper, s'mores, kettle corn, and hot tamales. Those are all Peep flavors. And I think that is it. Just to remind you, we will not have a new show next week. We will be broadcasting one of our favorite old shows, but we will be back the following week. So we do hope you will enjoy our one of our older programs next week. Just don't call in. Anyway, my thanks to Kira Pace, technical editor, Lori Fisher, Diablo Valley College. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Thanks, Joanne, for your help with the board and phones. And above all, thanks to you out there for taking the time to tune in and call in. We look forward to hearing from you, as always, hopefully in 2 weeks. So have a great Easter, everybody. Take care. Bye-bye.